Das Wochenende in Alpbach brachte viel Wind und nach Wochen wieder einmal etwas Regen. Aber wichtiger noch, es brachte Speis und Trank und viel Musik.
So join us in this fantastic endeavor.
Presse Play. Was in Alpbach wichtig ist.
It's gonna be a war.
Der Presse-Podcast aus Alpbach wird unterstützt von der Erste Group.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen am fünften Tag unseres Kongressjournals.
Am Samstagvormittag luden die Stipendiaten zum internationalen Market vor der Mittelschule. Die einzelnen Alpbach-Clubs haben sich da ordentlich ins Zeug gelegt und traditionelle Speisen und Getränke angeboten.
Es gab also Krautfleckerln aus dem Burgenland, Speck- und Käseknödel aus Südtirol mit reichlich Parmesan, Süßspeisen aus Bulgarien und Wein aus gleich mehreren Ländern. Dazu Kontrabassklänge mit Gesang aus Kroatien und Bosnien.
Besonders viel Aufwand hat die ukrainische Alpbach-Gruppe betrieben. Sie haben lokale Produkte wie ukrainischen Käse, Honig und Brotaufstriche aus Kürbis, Hanf oder Nüssen vorgestellt. Außerdem gab es besonders schmackhaftes Brot.
Dieser traditionelle ukrainische Brot Polonezza, man hat schon viel davon gehört. Und wir haben nach ukrainischen traditionellen Rezeptur hier in Alpbach eine Bäckerei gefragt, dass sie das machen. Und Sie können sich vorstellen, also sie haben geübt einige Wochen und jetzt ja, hat es geklappt.
Ich muss ja sagen, das Setting hat mich an den Workshop von Bart Wätjens am Samstagvormittag erinnert und da musste ich schmunzeln, denn der Zen-buddhistische Mönch und gelernte Produktdesigner aus den Niederlanden hatte da über die fünf Säulen eines erfüllten Lebens gesprochen und neben Schlaf, Bewegung und Spiritualität sind das seiner Meinung nach eben auch ausgewogene Ernährung und meaningful conversations. Beim International Bazaar waren genau diese beiden letzten Punkte auf besonders schöne Weise kombiniert.
Man konnte dabei auch etwas exotischere Lebensmittel kosten. Am afrikanischen Stand gab es etwa getrocknetes Gemüse aus Simbabwe und Würmer. Ja, Sie haben richtig gehört, Würmer.
So these are the special worms from Zimbabwe. They are called Madora and they are 70% high in protein and we actually really appreciate them and actually prefer them to meat, exactly.
Really? So you eat them a lot?
Yeah, we eat them a lot because they're very natural. They grow on tree, they feed on tree leaves. They're perfect and natural like that and that's why they are high in protein. So a lot of people prefer it and it's a delicacy. So you just have to put them in hot water, let them soften a bit, fry them, put chili. Then you're ready to eat.
Die Veranstalter dieses Bazaars hatten die Gäste übrigens extra dazu eingeladen, in traditionellen Kleidern aus ihren Ländern zu erscheinen. Und tatsächlich waren diesem Aufruf einige gefolgt. So sah man kurdische Kleider, bunte afrikanische Muster und auch das ein oder andere österreichische Dirndl.
Eine junge Frau aus Afghanistan trug ein typisches Hochzeitskleid aus ihrer Heimat mit einem aufwendigen silbernen Kopfschmuck.
So the clothing you're seeing now, it's in green. It's a bridal dress I'm wearing, and my sister has the normal dress for normal people. A bride is differentiated having silsila. It is something that you put. It's a jewelry. It's very expensive in central Afghanistan. You put it in the forehead, and it goes around your head. And it is. It makes sounds like this. Yeah, it's all made of silver. That's why it's very expensive.
But isn't it also very heavy? I mean, this is a lot of silver you're wearing.
Yeah, it is very heavy. That's why it's a bridal dress, and a bride is like expensive and heavy.
Stark und weiblich war dann auch das Nachmittagsprogramm in Alpbach. So wie man überhaupt den Übergang von der Seminarwoche zu den Lab Days spürt und merkt, dass sich die Architektur des Forums und auch die Gäste langsam verändern. Ich treffe die Luxemburgerin Jana de Grotte im leeren und sehr plüschigen Speisesaal des Alpbacher Hofes. Und ich bin zunächst einmal sehr erstaunt, wie groß die junge Frau ist, die mir da gegenübersteht. Ihre besonders offene und natürliche Art ist auffallend. De Grott ist erst 27, studierte Juristin und schon seit einigen Jahren Gemeinderätin für die liberale Demokratische Partei, kurz DP, in Luxemburg. Ihr politisches Engagement hat sie sehr früh begonnen, wie sie erzählt.
I ran for office the first time at the age of 21. It was a response to the fact that in my country, even though I'm Luxembourgish, I didn't really feel represented. So I felt like I needed to walk the talk and actually show that representation is possible by just me running for office. So I ran the first time at 21. People cautioned me to not cry if I end up last. And I ended up being one of the youngest politicians in my country and definitely one of the only people of color in my country that are active in representative politics.
Jana de Grott sieht sich zwar als Politikerin, aber nicht nur. Sie nennt sich auch
a social entrepreneur by heart.
Und sie ist beseelt davon, junge Menschen dazu zu bringen, sich politisch zu engagieren. Deswegen hat sie die Initiative We Belong Europe gegründet, die Europäerinnen of Color inspirieren will, Führungsqualitäten zu entwickeln. Ihr allerneuestes Projekt heißt Pow Her und in dem soll es darum gehen, Teenagerinnen Leadership Skills beizubringen, also zum Beispiel, wie man einen Lebenslauf schreibt oder in der Öffentlichkeit spricht. In Alpbach ist de Grott, weil sie beim prominent besetzten Panel Why Women Should Lead the World mitdiskutiert hat. Und zwar neben der ehemaligen sozialistischen schwedischen Außenministerin Margot Wallström oder Sandrine Dixon de Klerk, der belgischen Expertin für Energiepolitik. Und außerdem ist die Co-Präsidentin des Club of Rome. Aber warum braucht es eigentlich noch Panels wie dieses? Sind wir nicht schon weiter? Sollte nicht völlig klar sein, dass Frauen ebenso fähig und bereit sind zu führen? Jana de Grott?
You know, like back then, women were really excluded from political life. And yes, we have changed and evolution has happened the last decades, but there are still real barriers for women to enter these spaces. And I feel like as a woman of color, as a person that ran for office so young when I was still a student, I really understood the barriers. Before that, I was not even aware. I thought, I mean, we are all the same, right? But I thought, you know, if you work hard, you're going to achieve what you want to achieve. But there are real, real barriers. The experience also in office as a young black woman was not always comfortable, dealing with racism, hate online based on the color of my skin, people insulting me or people, you know, my ancestors. Like, it goes so far that I realized that first, I'm part of this. I belong here. I'm Luxembourgish. I do belong here. I'm not going to let anyone question that. But I need to address it. I need to address it to change it for the future. And if we don't have people that address these issues, no matter how we see them today, if we see them as little or not so little, we are not going to change.
But as I understand your work, you dedicated your work to this change, that things will change. What are the biggest steps to develop this change and to overcome the barriers that you talked about?
To me, I see it, I have like a theory that says if you want to, for example, run for office or consider political office and that you're in a political party, for instance, and you belong to a minority group, you are like a woman, then I always say first, find a community of support. This can be your friends or people that support you regularly. When you don't really know how to navigate it, how to take a decision, I recently got a mentor. This is something I really haven't done the last years, and people told me to do it and I just ignored it. I said, why would I need a mentor? But I have a mentor now that knows about politics. And if I'm struggling with something, I'm just reaching out to that mentor, and it has really changed a lot in my life and also the way I lead.
Do you believe women lead differently?
Yes. I mean, this is a question I think I need to reply in two parts. I mean, from women, from our nature, from the fact that we are the ones that, if we want to, could carry children. I do feel like women have a lot of empathy and another way of leading. And it's actually also proven that this is the case. At the same time, from experiences of me and also of my peers, it's hard, you know, when you are like, you're a woman in politics sometimes and you are alone, you might end up fitting the status quo. I think I'm also part of this, or I used to be part of this, because I remember that when I entered political office, I was 21, my colleagues were established men that just finished their career and that had financial stability. I didn't. I was just starting to study. And I would pressure my parents to also buy me suits like them so I could fit in. Mm-hmm. So I really try to fit in. It's hard as a minority to stand out and to face the backlash alone if things go wrong. So you will end up fitting in, maybe also trying to talk the way the others do, trying to do the way others do what they do. And with time and with experience, and it is again, if you have a few years of experience, if you fall sometimes, you learn. Today, I am myself. Like, I dress the way I want. I talk the way I want with respect always, but I know who I am.
But sorry to interrupt you, but you are also sitting next to me in a suit, mm-hmm. in a female, with a female shape, but it's also a suit.
Yes, so this is, I actually, it's so funny because yesterday I said to everyone, so hot in Alpbach right now, and I said to everyone, I'm a suit and I'm going to wear a suit for my speech, and I'm not sure if I can wear it because it's too hot. The reason I have a suit is also because I love suits. And when I was little, the reason I entered politics is because there's so many stereotypes around people of color and women of color, and you are being put in boxes quite easily. And I wanted always to show that also a person of color can wear suits and talk nice and you know, really break those stereotypes around us. So I feel comfortable in my suit. I wear sneakers with it. I try to make it still a little bit cool.
Okay, Anzug hin oder her, die Diskutantinnen am Female Leaders Panel in Alpbach, die sind sich freilich alle einig, die Welt braucht mehr Frauen in Führungsrollen. Worum geht es Jana de Grot dann bei solchen Diskussionen?
Personal stories and experience really inspire people. And if you have people, no matter who it is actually, if you have leaders sitting there that also are able to talk about the challenges and the barriers that they had to overcome, you inspire the audience. This is from my experience, it always worked, that it's about being open. It's about being open and showing also your strength, how you did this, how you overcome this.
Do you believe that there is something like female foreign politics?
I mean, yes, and the one that has shaped this space is a friend of mine, Christina Lunz from Germany. I wish she could be here. And I read her book and I talk about it with her. Luxembourg is actually one of the ones that have implemented this, but I feel like we are not bragging about it. I don't know why, but we have implemented it this way. I do think that the gender lens to conflict resolution, especially when we talk about wars where women are still used as weapons, that are experiencing violence, sexual violence, in conflict zones and war times, having this gender perspective on trying to find a solution is very important. Understanding that there's a specific gender that faces this while we try to find solution is very important. And while I'm also a very strong believer into representative democracies, for our democracies to flourish when people feel represented, I also believe that feministische foreign policy is something we should work on, you know, and research more and learn more about, because the gender lens to different problems in this sector, in our sector, in our political debates is crucial.
Wir lernen also, es geht Jana de Grot und den anderen Frauen des Panels vor allem darum, ihre eigene Geschichte mit anderen zu teilen und Mut zu machen, sich in die erste Reihe zu stellen. Apropos Gleichberechtigung und Sichtbarkeit von Frauen, auch hier beim Forum. Dieses Thema haben wir, also meine Kollegin Eva Winreuter und ich, in den vergangenen 3 Jahren im Alpbach-Podcast ja immer wieder bewusst sehr offen und kritisch angesprochen. Umso erfreulicher ist, dass die Anzahl der Speakerinnen in diesem Jahr mit 53% mehr als die Hälfte ausmacht. Von insgesamt 470 Speakern sind in diesem Sommer 250 Frauen, 217 Männer und 3 nicht binär. das ist ja einmal eine gute Nachricht. Das war Folge 5 unseres Kongressjournals aus Alpbach. Wir melden uns noch weitere 5 Male bis zum 1. September. Wenn Sie uns etwas mitteilen wollen oder eine Idee haben, dann schreiben Sie uns an podcast@diepresse.com. Und vor allem, wenn Sie mögen, was Sie hören, dann sagen Sie das gerne weiter. Bis morgen!
Presse Play. Was in Alpbach wichtig ist.